The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
There is a political violence problem in this country, and unfortunately, it is one-sided. Michael Knowles was summoned to the Senate this week to speak about political violence. Unfortunately, he has been a target of political violence from time to time, and he went in there and he wrecked house, so much so that Cory Booker just straight up walked out when called out for his hypocrisy, and we have it on tape. Here is that moment.
You cannot possibly expect a parent to send their children to a school where the professors might endeavor to kill half the students. It would be like going to a restaurant with the assumption that the waiters want to poison half the customers or something like that. You can't go to a hospital where the nurses want to kill half the patients. It's just, you cannot operate a society that way. That is obviously beyond the pale. And if you are to permit that kind of speech into the marketplace of ideas, it doesn't have the effect of expanding the marketplace of ideas. It actually shrinks the marketplace of ideas. This is why the First Amendment obviously prohibits things like direct threats or obscenity or fighting words, because these are forms of speech that actually undermine rational discourse. You know, I think Senator Booker made a good point just a moment ago when he said we have to self-examine, we have to be introspective. And, I can't help but think of a line today. Jay Jones has the vision, commitment, and integrity to keep families safe and make sure every Virginian gets a fair shake in the justice system. I'll be working every day to ensure Jay wins this race. That's the endorsement of Senator Booker for a man who would seek to be the Attorney General of Virginia. This is a man who, if people have not been reading the news, has called for a Republican to be murdered, for his children to be murdered, for the children to die in their mother's arms in order to persuade the Republican to change his policy views, and a man who says that he would urinate on the graves of multiple Republicans. Senator Booker, in this spirit of introspection, is standing by this endorsement. So I suppose I would invite... Perhaps I should have looked, because Senator Booker has left the room, and I think I can guess why. Senator Booker, I think, should practice what he preaches, because this is the kind of moment. You cannot have a professor who wants to teach students and is going to desire to kill half of them. You certainly cannot have law enforcement officers who would engage in this kind of violent rhetoric against half of their constituents. So long as anyone stands by an endorsement such as that, their words are meaningless. They are shedding crocodile tears on the topic of political violence.
He couldn't take the heat. And the irony of all of that is that Michael is sitting there talking about the marketplace of ideas and free speech. And it turns out, when conservatives have free speech, pretty much the only thing that leftists can turn to is either they can censor them, which obviously has happened for years and is starting to fall away, or they can do what Cory Booker did and just walk out. And they can't compete in that marketplace of ideas. Michael Knowles continued. He made a good point. I think that a lot of well-meaning moderates are missing in this discussion, which is that this is a partisan issue. This is not a two sides, whether you like it or not. This is one-sided.
What's the road forward in your view?
We might be able to find a little bipartisan agreement if we acknowledge something that both parties at different times have acknowledged, which is that marketplaces of ideas or any other kind of marketplace only function when there are rules and when we abide by those rules. You can't have a marketplace if bandits keep shooting up the marketplace. And this is why it's so important to identify where the threats to the marketplace have really been coming from. Have we seen left-wing speakers shouted down on campuses? Have we seen left-wing events interrupted by terrorists? Rarely so, if ever. I can't think of an occasion. I am amused that Senator Durbin began by warning against pointing to one side or the other, making this a partisan issue, before beginning one of the most partisan invectives that I have ever heard. But I'm not even opposed to a partisan invective here, because I think it is very important that we identify where the threats are. I think any honest Democrat even would have to acknowledge, as the Atlantic magazine did, as even CSIS has acknowledged, that the threats today to the free marketplace of ideas come from the left. And so, in order to restore the open marketplace of ideas, the healthy exchange of ideas, essential to our self-government, we must regulate where the problem is. And today, the problem lies on the left.
It's become super popular recently to say things are just nonpartisan. People will be like, don't make it partisan, dude. Like, it doesn't have to be like that. But the problem is trying to make something nonpartisan over just getting to the truth is wrong. I'm sorry. On this one, this is a partisan issue. The main difference in political violence that we are seeing right now is that political violence on the right, and there is right-wing political violence, but when it comes from the right, it is coming from the alt-right. It's coming from the far right, the crazies who have zero representation in the Republican Party right now. The political violence from the left is very different because it is coming from the mainstream. It is literally, in the case that Michael Knowles points out, coming from elected politicians in many cases. So yes, this is partisan. It is a Democrat problem. The other side of this is people will say that both parties are just the same. And this is an argument that's come out a lot recently, and it's kind of annoying to me. They'll say it's a uniparty. That's what we're hearing a lot of. I think that's a very tone-deaf political philosophy. And the reason why is because both parties are not the same, and all that takes is just one look at modern politics. Sure, both can take money from the same interest groups. They can have similar incentives. Some corruption is going to exist on both sides. I'm not saying that the Republican Party is this angel party and that the Democrat Party is the devil. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, and I brought this up many times on the show before, do you really think that if Kamala Harris was president right now, that it would look the same as a Donald Trump presidency? Just for a moment, just imagine what the last 9 months of, and really doesn't take much imagining because Joe Biden was our previous president. So all you have to do really is look at the last 9 months, juxtapose that to what Biden's 4 years before that, and ask yourself, is that the same? And obviously they are not. Are we really to believe that the outcomes of legislation and executive orders would be the exact same over the last 9 months? Obviously not. I don't think there's a single person that would argue that. Therefore, the uniparty does not exist. On another note, one thing that Michael does well in this hearing is he properly talks about Charlie Kirk's assassination, which is, I think, the most poignant thing, you know, the most poignant example of political violence probably since BLM. And the only reason why I say BLM is just because it was so widespread in terms of actually affecting someone's individual life. I mean, I don't know if we've had something as big as Charlie Kirk. There's nothing bigger than being assassinated, right? I mean, that's as horrible as it gets. But BLM was so widespread, I think, you know, that was culturally significant as well. And what Michael Knowles does is he correctly identifies the shooter in that case as a leftist, which is evident by all of the facts and the evidence and data that we have on the ground. One of the reasons right now, you've probably noticed on my show, I'm speaking out against a lot of alt-right people, speak out against Candace Owens, all the alt-right influencers. The reason why I'm speaking out against them is that they are trying to absolve a left-wing lunatic of his crimes by saying that he didn't do it and that someone else did it. And they are joining the left in doing that. The left has already said, oh, this guy who did it is not left-wing. And so essentially all you're seeing is people at CNN or MSNBC or even the alternative media lefty bros doing the exact same thing as Candace Owens. And that's what's so troubling to me of the people who are actually going out and supporting her is you're supporting a left-wing cause. You're absolving a left-wing lunatic of his crimes. And I think that's despicable. Just like I think it's despicable when right-wing populist people also defend Luigi Mangione, for example. That was another thing. I came out against that. There were right-wing people saying it was good what he did because they don't like how our healthcare system is. You are joining the left when you do that. The left champions that stuff. Luigi Mangione is a left-wing murderer. And so when people on the right support them, I don't even know what to tell. Like, you're not even on the right anymore. You're doing the exact same thing as the left. There's this horseshoe kind of theory. I think it's true. I mean, there's a certain point where the far left and far right are almost indistinguishable in terms of what their rhetoric and goals are. So my message is, don't join the left, guy. Like, be like Michael Knowles. I mean, this is just fantastic work from him. I think it's awesome, and he's been very consistent on this. Don't join the left. Don't join leftist murderers in their conquest to hurt conservatives. Before we get back to the news, guys, the left is a cult. They act like a cult. They do crazy cultish stuff. And I write about it in my book, A New Cult. Go check it out right now. It is on sale on Amazon. I talk about a lot of things that big tech would not let me talk about. Fortunately, when it's my book, I can talk about whatever I want. So go check it out right now. The link is in the description below. New York and New Jersey, you guys, we are seeing blue states become red states before our eyes. The new data that we're seeing is stunning. This comes from the Manhattan Institute in New York. This is the governor head-to-head race between Elise Stefanik and Kathy Hochul. Kathy Hochul is a horrible governor. I'm really sad that Lee Zeldin who ran against her. Lee Zeldin is awesome. He was a fantastic candidate. He did well, but didn't win. Right now, we are getting probably the first poll that I've ever seen in a governor race in New York where there is a Republican leading ahead, 43% to 42%, with 15% either not sure or voting for other. That is huge. If Kathy Hochul decides not to rerun and we have Antonio Delgado, she is leading by 6%, 43%. To 37%. I like that poll. Why? Because in both instances, against both matchups, Elise Stefanik gets 43%. That shows me some consistency in that poll. That is huge. Meanwhile, in New Jersey, we're getting 1 week away from the governor race there, and Jack Chattarelli has closed the gap significantly. This is a huge pickup if it happens. Here's what we're seeing there. We have Mikey Sherrill, at 49% and Jack Chattarelli at 46%. So very, very close. That is within the margin of error. So we are looking at potentially a tie as the polls stand right now. I'm going to show you some more data in just 1 second that really blows us open. But there's actually a second poll that was underneath this. And I love this poll. When people ask this question, this is so telling. This was actually one of the biggest tells for the 2024 election. I talked about it on my show a lot last year. But the question is, regardless of who you personally support, who do you think most of your neighbors, friends, or coworkers will vote for? Last election, we were seeing some pro Kamala Harris polls come out. In those same polls, if you ask that same question, it reversed. People, and that's true for this, Jack Chattarelli is at 53% to Mikey Sherrill at 47%. There is a perception in New Jersey that, and what people are saying essentially is that they think that Jack Chattarelli is going to win. Again, when this same question was asked in 2024 for pro-Harris polls, Donald Trump would also win. And obviously he won the election. So this looks very good for Jack. The reason why I like this is because when you're asking people, what do you think your neighbors are going to do? That in many ways, you can be more candid. You can get a better answer. When you're asking about yourself, some people are going to lie. Some people are going to answer who are never going to vote. But when you're asking about your neighbors, that just shows what you are seeing on the ground. What kind of signs are you seeing up? What's the rhetoric that you're seeing? And the fact that Jack Chattarelli has a 6% lead on that is very telling. Here's some other fantastic news in New Jersey. Right now, if you look at the advance voting, which Republicans have historically done very, very poorly on, mostly from shooting themselves in the foot because people will tell them don't go vote early because there's election fraud. Maybe there's election fraud from time to time, but it turns out when you tell people not to go vote in early, they oftentimes forget to vote on day of and they lose the election. Right now, you have 734,000 ballots that have been sent in early, either through mail or in person. Ballots cast by party registration, 409,000 for Democrats and 199,000 for Republican. Turnout percentage of registered voters is 16% for Democrats and 11.9% for Republicans. So Republicans are trailing. But here's the thing, guys. Like I just said, Republicans usually do way worse than this. Like you'll see numbers where, you know, it might be a 16% turnout early for Democrats and like a 4% turnout for Republicans. The fact that they're trailing not by that much could be really good news for Jack Chattarelli and his campaign. I want to say that both these elections are going to go to Republicans. I really hope they do. Again, the New York one I don't believe is in 2025. I think this is looking forward to 2026. But I want this one in a week with Jack Chattarelli to go its way. But even if it doesn't, and it might not, the important thing are the trends. I am in this for the long haul. I want New York and New Jersey to turn into Florida. Florida was not turned overnight. You'll remember in 2018, Ron DeSantis squeaked by. In 2016, I should go back even earlier, Donald Trump squeaked by Hillary Clinton. To think that less than a decade ago, it was squeaked by is kind of crazy. Because now we look at Florida and it is like deep, deep red. In 2022, Ron DeSantis was the only person that had the red wave that was promised. He wrecked house. I mean, Florida just went so hard right. And that didn't happen in a day. It happened a little bit incrementally over time. Each election, if it can just go more and more red, we are in business. And I think New York, New Jersey, and Virginia are the three states that Republicans need to focus on most. Maybe New Mexico would be a close fourth in there. And why is this happening? This is the big question. This is why I said that Zohran Mamdani in New York City is a bad decision for Democrats long term. I know that people are excited. I'm talking about the left. They're excited about the fact that there's a socialist that's going to go in there and do something completely new. In politics, there's a pendulum. And when one side puts forth their crazy crazies, like Zohran Mamdani, I mean, he's the most radical person in leftist politics that is actually going to get elected right now. What happens is when people put in their crazies, the other side has an opportunity to strike back. With someone as crazy as Zohran Mamdani in New York, someone who has an abysmal national favorability rating, by the way, the rest of New York State is going to be watching very closely. And they're going to respond. And from what I hear, and again, they're going to have a year to respond until the next governor race, as well as, of course, their Congress members, which could totally flip as well. From what I hear right now, and you can tell me in the comments below, because there are a lot of people who watch this show from New York, the rest of New York, not in New York City, is becoming very, very red. And I think they're going to swing hard in a year. Red enough, even, to balance out New York City and turn the state blood red. Hey guys, I want to invite you to subscribe to my new Substack. Substack is a weekly newsletter that comes right to your inbox. It's completely free to you, and I simply write about what I couldn't get to on the show or I couldn't talk about because big tech would censor me. Substack is fantastic. They never censor me, and I'm able to talk a little more candidly with you there. It's, again, completely free to you. Go check it out. The link is in the description below. Thank you so much for watching today's episode, everybody. Please like the video so other great patriots like yourselves will see it. And if you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please give the podcast a rating so other patriots will find it there as well. And you can tune in every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the live show, or you can watch another video right here.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.